Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Live the Promise. So glad you tuned in today. And if you just tuned in, you missed my first hour discussion with Lori Short. Had a great time of ministry. I love her book. It's called Finding Faith in the Dark, When the Story of Your Life Takes a Turn You Didn't Plan. This hour, we're supposed to have Bart Millard of Mercy Me. We're having a hard time getting a hold of him. So we're going to play some of his songs, but let's continue the conversation. If I Can Stand With You, if you're walking through a time, maybe a dark valley of the shadow, maybe your life took a turn you hadn't counted on, let me pray with you, stand with you. While we listen to some of the songs, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. I was so excited to talk with Bart. As you know, you've probably heard me say how much I love this album. It's been my cycling album for the summer. Upbeat songs. If you want to get ready in the morning and hop around, I'm telling you, it'll get your heart rate going. Clean the house to it. Anyway, there's such a prevailing theme through the album about our newness in Christ, our grace and our identity in Him, resting in the finished work of Christ, being willing to be a work in progress because Jesus is willing for us to be a work in progress. So this first song we're going to play while we try to connect with Bart is called Welcome to the New. It's the title of the album and it's the title song. So let's listen in. Let me hear from you, 877-933-2484.
Got to live right, just stay in line. You've heard it all at least a million times. Like me, you believe it. They said it wasn't worth, but trying harder wouldn't hurt. It sounds so crazy now. Back then you couldn't see it. Now here you are, eyes open wide. It's like you're seeing grace in a brand new light for the first time. Oh,
I love that part. I'm so glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is the second hour of Live the Promise. And my guest today is Bart Millard. And he's not grounded because he showed up. So you're out of trouble, Bart.
Oh, good. Sorry about that.
He just gave me a little heart attack, but that's all right. Oh, my goodness. I have to tell you, Bart, you're just one of my all-time favorite artist, and I'm working out to that CD all summer. I'm a cyclist, so I put that in my ear and I ride like the wind, and I cannot thank you enough for that album. I love it so much.
Oh man, thank you. That means a lot. I really appreciate it.
So you're off the hook for being late and scaring me and all that. So
Oh good.
Well, I want to give you a proper introduction. I'm looking forward to today's show. Since 1994, Bart Millard has been the lead singer for the award-winning Christian group Mercy Me. Their well-known songs include I Can Only Imagine, Word of God Speak, and So Long Self. You can find his influencer page at our website, myfaithradio.com, and hear part of their new single, Greater. Right here every afternoon, we open our second hour. That's our new theme song for our second hour. So, Bart, welcome to the program.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for having me. I didn't know it was a theme song. That's awesome.
Yeah, we love it. And I always have the producer lengthen it every time. So I'm like, let me hear a little more. I like that. So,
awesome.
Yeah, it's great. So we love to start out our conversation talking scripture, wondering if you have either a life verse or just a verse that the Lord's been speaking about these days.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think. The scripture I've been on, it kind of changes on a seems like it changes on a daily basis as of lately. But the one that I probably go back to most is that's kind of been my life verse. The first time I ever performed live in front of anybody, gosh, I had to be in probably 9th or 10th grade. I don't know. And I was mortified. It was like the scariest I've ever done. Mm-hmm. And a dear friend of mine, you know, passed this verse on to me. And even to this day, I guess I have. You know, like I found myself when I'm stressed out kind of saying this verse over and over and over. I don't know, now it's almost like a knee jerk reaction. And it's really not much to it. It's just Corinthians 2:2 that says, I'm determined to know nothing while I'm with you except Jesus Christ and crucified.
Mm.
That whole passage, like, and I guess because of me being in front of people, it's 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2, the first few verses, and when it talks about it, it says, when I came to you, brothers, announcing the testimony of God to you, I did not come with you with brilliance of speech or wisdom, for I didn't think it was a good idea to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a powerful demonstration by the Spirit, so that your faith might not be based on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Mm. And so, that's been kind of like, for me, it's just a reminder of not only, you know, who I do this for, but why I do it and how I'm able to do it. It's calmed many nerves in my 20 years of being with Mercy Me.
I love that verse. For me, Bart, that keeps me on my small place, because we can shift our weight onto things we accomplish, or we can fall down when we fall down. And to me, that just reminds me, on Christ the solid rock I stand. So I determine to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. So powerful. Now, here's a really blunt question for you. When did you know you had pipes? When did you know I can sing? I mean, when did you figure that out?
Well, I barely remember, like when I was a kid, like 5 years old, my mom, I kind of grew up in church. My mom, her and her twin sister played piano and organ in this little tiny Baptist church. And I remember they said at 5 years old that I would get up and I would sing like I Am a Promise or something like that. And my mom would play it in the wrong key and I would stop her and make her start over and stuff. But she said that you know, I remember singing a few times and kind of went to that phase to where my voice didn't change. I always had a high voice. And so, like, I never sang anymore. It wasn't cool to be sitting in a girl section of choir. And so in my family, I was, my dad was a huge football player, and we were kind of growing up in Texas. We loved football. And so I played football up until my sophomore year in high school. Like, I was obsessed with it. And I had a bad injury to where I had to get out of the football program. And since school had already started, the only class available was choir. And so I had to get in choir. And reluctantly, like at this point, I kind of just wasn't really singing at all. Like it was, you know, I sang when I was a little bitty kid, but And I had an unbelievable choir teacher that kind of made me realize that God had given me a gift. And,
wow.
And she's the one that convinced me, to keep singing and keep singing. And just over time, my confidence level kind of grew. And to where I just, I love to sing just in front of people was a scary thought. And then all of a sudden, I'm doing it for a living, ironically.
That's amazing. I'm a big football fan, but the truth is you can sing a lot longer than you can play football. So that is,
it's definitely less painful.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly. And wow, does God use it. Well, I noticed a theme throughout this album. I really mean it. I used to be sick a lot of years ago. I battled Lyme disease. So the fact that I can get on my bike and haul and ride fast and long is the biggest gift to me ever. But when I have songs like your songs in my ear, and I'm just pounding away at thinking about grace and identity and the finished work of Christ, that was the theme that I pulled out of this album, is just the idea that we get to be a work in progress because of the finished work of Christ. Talk to me just about how that, is that what you intended, or is there something else you had in mind and I just sort of drew that out?
No, that's absolutely what the album, is all about. Like when we refer to when we say welcome to the new for me was coming into the realization of who I am in Christ. And fortunately, he's known the whole time who I am in Christ, but the enemy's convinced me otherwise for many years. And so it's probably in the last 3 years that I realized I'm not a bad person trying to be good. I'm holy, righteous, and redeemed.
Indeed.
And so yes, that was the new perspective revelation in my life, to where, I grew up in a very legalistic church that was told that Christ is enough, but here's 3 more points just in case. And you got a to-do list of things you've got to do to make sure God's happy and okay with you. And when we were finishing up the Hurt and the Healer, our album before this, that was probably the lowest point of my life, spiritually, physically, just everything. We just kind of hit a wall to where we literally, I think we knew, we were convinced it was our last album to make. Like we were done. Just, we were kind of, and I think a lot of it was, I spent many, many years doing all of this stuff to try to make right with God. And then a friend of mine came into my life and just kind of reminded me. The first thing he ever said to me 3 years ago was, "Hey, just in case you've forgotten, there's nothing you can do to make Christ love you any more than he already does right now. And so maybe you should like take 5 and just rest in the finished work of the cross and quit trying so hard." And no one ever told me to stop. It's always do more. And so I was almost offended. And so for literally a year or two, we just started unpacking that, and sometimes arguing and just going through scripture and just started to see, I'm not trying to be this certain thing in Christ. Because of the cross, I already am this certain thing in Christ. I already am set apart. I'm already redeemed. And these things have already taken place. Instead of me trying to do enough good stuff to make it last, I kind of got this understanding. I'm a brand new creation, and it's a new that doesn't wear off. The shine doesn't go away. I remain a new creation because of Christ. And so, for years and years, everything I did was trying to make right with God. And now in the last, I would say 3 years, everything I do that's anything worthwhile is with the understanding that I am right with God.
Indeed. Oh, my goodness. And you think about it, striving for God is not sustainable. Resting in him
right.
produces much fruit. Well, we need to take a short break. Have a great conversation with Bart Millard. Angie, I see your call. If you don't mind hanging on, the break is only 2 minutes long, but if you can't hang on, I've got your note here, but I'd love for you to tell Bart yourself how much his music means to you. We've got, I think, a few copies of this awesome album. I can't even tell you how much I love it. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. And Bart, you're not going anywhere, are you? You're going to stay right
nope.
here.
I'm not going anywhere.
Yay. All right, we'll be right back.
On my worst day, how you love me still will not change. What if it's feeling not about what I do, but what you did? Oh, what if this seems to
everything that happened in the past, the sins that brought me to Christ, like while it makes me the person I am, it is not who I am now. And with Christ, his righteousness is on me now. So I'm perfect in him.
Love that. Talking to Bart Millard of Mercy Me, this album, Welcome to the New, I'm telling you, you got to get it. We've got a few copies to give away if you want to talk to Bart. Tell him how much you love his music. Ask him a question. 877-933-2484. Angie's calling in from St. Bonifacius. Angie, thanks for holding.
Hi, Susie. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm so excited to be able to tell Bart and the rest of the group that their music has just meant so much to me and my family. My father passed away about 10 years ago to cancer, and the week that he died, we had, I can only imagine, playing by his bedside. And now, you know, because it's an older song, we don't hear it too often. So when I do, I feel like just my dad saying, you know, I'm still here watching over you. And I was really close with my dad, and it was really hard for me to let go, questioning God, asking him why. And a couple months later, the song Homesick came out, and the line in the song said, even if I knew, the hurt would still be the same. And that just was an aha moment for me and clicked and helped me to kind of move past the why, because I may never know why. And then now the new song, Greater, I mean, I literally, the first time I heard it, I knew it was you guys, and I was like, and they did it again. That song is like my new theme song for my life, because everything you were saying about that song and about the album, and that is exactly what God has taken me through right now for like the last 3 to 6 months, and it has just been amazing.
Angie,
so I just wanted to say thank you so much for your music. You guys are awesome.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. That's awesome, man. Wow.
Angie, I want to know, do you sing into your hairbrush in the morning to the song? Because that's what I do.
I'm just saying. You know, the song comes on, I crank it up, and I have the windows rolled down. I've had people in the car looking at me because I am just jamming out to that song.
It rocks. It rocks. Okay, Angie, you get a copy of the new album. Kyle's calling in from Minneapolis. Kyle, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks.
What do you want to say?
Wanted to share a word with Bart. I have a confession to make. I haven't really listened to Mercy Me since your first CD, although I loved it. But I was just listening to your interview, and I'm a church planter, and I resonated so much with what you said that of trying to do the work of ministry in order to please God, in order to get right with God. And you know, I think it's magnified, especially in the ministry, because you feel like there are so direct consequences to our actions. You know, people's eternal state could depend on what we do, or so we convince ourselves. And just to hear, you know, the journey that God took you on to that place where knowing that the only good things we do are because we're already right with God, and God is already pleased in us in Christ, and not trying to earn that with our deeds.
Absolutely. And you have to remember, and you're right, like there's a, you know, like some of the gatekeepers in churches, pastors, and these people in ministry sometimes have the hardest time they have a hard time swallowing this kind of message that it's, you know, even though we all say it's not about works, there's a lot, there's this big sense of, man, if I don't do enough, you know, and even though it may be a noble cause, the fact is that there, you were never meant to fix any lives. You can't. But you know, luckily for all of us and for you, is that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of you. And so it's like, man, I believe that the gospel was meant to free us up to, to enjoy every step of the journey. Like it's not I'm not stressed if I gave a good enough sermon to see life change. It's like, man, I'm just doing this because I understand what grace has done for me, and I really can't keep my mouth shut.
Indeed.
And that stuff starts to fall into place, and it's like, man, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Don't let the enemy, because sometimes the enemy can sound a lot like you're just not doing enough for the kingdom. It's not always you're a bad person, but he may try to convince you to work harder, which paralyzes you just as much, because now it's all about a works thing. And so, and just enjoy the fact that the gospel's done all of it.
I love that. Love that.
Yeah.
Kyle, thanks for that. I always picture the boy with a wrinkled brown bag of lunch. I know the boy that gave the lunch to Jesus, it wasn't in a brown wrinkled bag, but that's how I picture it, because I keep thinking that's my offering in response to you, Lord, and it's his job to multiply it. And that keeps you in that place of of really even embracing your limits, because God has no limits. So, Kyle, thanks, and God bless you for all you're doing. Appreciate that
absolutely.
So much. Yeah. So we've got, I'm going to squeeze in one more call before the break. We still have so many songs that we want to play. Matt's calling in from Cottage Grove. He has a word he wants to say. Matt, welcome.
Hey, thanks for taking my call here. I just wanted to say, first of all, Christian radio music is really what got me saved. I sort of stumbled on some Christian radio station one night and started liking it, listening. Mercy Me is one of the, my favorite bands. And I always like to kind of hear backstories about stuff. Just kind of wonder what was your inspiration. Tell me the story behind You're Beautiful, which is one of my absolute favorite songs.
Thanks, man. You know, what's funny about that song is that before this kind of grace message kind of turned me upside down, there are a handful of songs. There's a lot of songs I'd probably rewrite if I could, just even based on my motivation for writing it. But Beautiful is one of those that kind of foreshadowed a lot of this. And I think it falls in line with this message of grace. And Beautiful was written for my daughters. I have five kids, and it's boy, girl, boy, girl, boy. And just as a protective dad, just seeing stuff on TV and seeing my kids get sucked into a lot of the materialistic stuff. And I want to be like that. I want to be this. And seeing a lot of girls over the years in ministry and guys too, but just this kind of, I'm not pretty enough. I can't be enough. I need to do more. And so I just have when my girls were born, and so I feel like I've always tried to tell them that you're perfect the way that you are and you're beautiful and you're beautiful. And so the song kind of came from things that I had prayed over them when they were probably couldn't understand me, to goofy songs that I sing to them at night. And it's just, I've tried my hardest to try to remind them that, to me, they're the most gorgeous thing I've ever seen. And that's just a micro bit of what the gospel's trying to say to us. And so whether you're a 7-year-old girl or 90-year-old man, I think it's something we need reminded of is that that Christ is okay with us. Mm-hmm. And that even on our worst, ugliest day, it says that our weak come boldly to the throne as if we belong there. It's like, even our worst, he's saying, you're not going to believe this, but I'm still completely pleased with you and madly in love with you. And so, yeah, that's where the song came from. And I mean, if that resonates with people, then, man, the 20 years of doing Mercy Me has been worth it.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Matt, for that call. You're going to get a copy of this album. And I'm telling you, we don't get enough exercise and we don't get enough grace. And so if you need some exercise and some grace, you got to play this album. Put it in your ear and get going. 877-933-2484. Talking to Bart Millard. Bart, the first time I heard one of your songs many years ago, the radio announcer called you Bart Millard. And I've been calling you forever. And I can't get it out of my brain. So if I mess it up, will you forgive me?
No, it's partially not. Well, one, it kind of rhymes with Bart, so
yeah.
It rolls off the tongue better.
It does.
But that
it's
when
not
it
your
first
name.
Started, yeah, my whole life has been Millard. It's Millard, but everybody's always called me that. And for a long time, I used to go, I'd always correct them. Well, when Mercy Me first kind of came onto the scene, the guys in the band dared me to correct whatever they said. If they said Millard, I would tell them it's Millard.
Okay, sir. We got to take a break. So sorry. We'll be right back.
You're beautiful.
Being made new makes me think of the transformative power of Christ. He has taken all of us sinners mired in dirt and grime and guilt, and he's brought us into freedom, and I think that's amazing.
He's brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. We're going to take another call. Joe's calling in from Edina, talking to Bart Millard of Mercy Me. Got a brand new album out. You've got to get it. It's called Welcome to the New. Joe, welcome. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to congratulate you, Bart, on all your success with Mercy Me, and I guess you're solo now?
No, I'm still with the band. I just, it's like being in the mafia. I don't think you can get out unless you die.
I can only imagine what it would be like without Christian music. I've been listening to Christian music since about the 80s. So it'd be fun to know who you've rubbed elbows with and what kind of work you've done with other artists.
Well, I'm kind of a product of the system. Like I know way too much about Christian music, like was obsessed with it growing up. As far as rubbing elbows, like the people that have made me speechless, probably the biggest one was like Russ Taff.
Oh, yeah.
he's like, I still to this day try to sing like him and just can't do it. You know? And I'm so fortunate to call him a friend, but even like if we go to lunch, I'll just sit there and go, I'm eating lunch with Russ Taff. And he's like, okay, enough already. What I call the golden age, like when BB and CeCe and Stephen Curtis and Amy Grant and Russ Taff, all those late 80s, early 90s, that era to me changed my life. And so for me personally, that's like if I get to hang out with any of them, you know, I'm probably a little too much of a fan.
But that's awesome.
You know, they've been patient with me.
That's awesome. Well, we want to play a few more songs from your album, and our second hour theme song is Greater. So say a word about that song before we get to listen in.
Well, Greater for me is kind of like if there was a Cliff Notes for the whole album, Greater's probably it. You know, this whole thing kind of came out of me understanding that the enemy to me is like this mosquito in a camping tent, incredibly annoying, doesn't stand toe-to-toe to God, doesn't know my thoughts, but it's like this thing just right in my ear, just it never lets up, just like telling me stuff, tempting me, just all this stuff, looking for a reaction. And once he has me, it's just I feel like I get beat down with being told I'm disqualified or whatever it may be. And that's where the idea of Greater came from was, man, as much as that's a voice that I've bought into for a long time and let it beat me down, the same spirit that raised Christ dead that dwells inside of me has had a voice this whole time. It's been calling me holy, righteous, and redeemed. I just, for whatever reason, haven't listen to it, haven't heard it, whatever. And so that was the idea behind this, is that, man, they're going to people say that I'm not enough, I'm beat down, that I've messed up over and over. It's okay because ultimately, you know, Christ is okay with me, and that my identity is not based on what I do, whether that's something incredibly noble or something horrific. It doesn't change who I am in Christ any better or worse. And because he withheld nothing at the cross. If we think anything we do can make it better, then that means the cross wasn't enough, in my opinion.
Right.
That's simply not the case.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Greater talks about. It could have easily been a power ballad, which we're known for doing. And I thought, man, this is a message that, like, it'd be hard to sit still. And so the guys were very kind to let us kind of go this, I call it the redneck route growing up in Texas, or this kind of country vibe. And they were all about it. And just,
it's a blast.
It was great.
It's a blast.
Yeah, it's great. It turned out really good. And I was so pleased when our label agreed to make it a single and it's doing well. And it's like, it's the most fun and probably, in my opinion, the most important message we ever had.
Wow. And there are days when I lose the battle. Grace says that it doesn't matter because the cross has already won the war. Say the rest of that. I am learning.
I am learning to run freely, understanding just how he sees me, and it makes me love it more and more.
Oh, I love it. Here it is, Greater.
Bring your tithe. And bring your shame, bring your guilt, and bring your pain. Don't you know that's not your name? You will always be much more to me. And every day I wrestle with the voices that keep telling me I'm not right, but that's alright, 'cause I hear a voice and
yeah.
Bart Millard from Mercy Me, and I've got him on the show today. Fabulous. Well done. My goodness, that's such a great song. What's it like for you to sit and listen to your music? Did you just want to get up and dance?
That's the first time I've heard on the radio. First
wow.
time ever. Yeah. I mean, I have five kids, so listening to the radio. This may be the first time I've listened to the radio.
But wow.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I don't think it gets old. You know, I mean, people ask, like, we've done this for 20 years, and whenever you do hear a song, like in a restaurant, on the radio or whatever, it's still a pretty cool feeling.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, you know, thinking about your conversation with some of the callers and just talking about your journey, I think it's so true that when we compare or when we strive, I've just noticed the same fruit comes out of when we commit the sin of comparison or when we strive for whatever reason, maybe the goodness of our heart, but thinking we're not enough and Christ isn't enough. The two fruits that seem to come out are either despair or pride. Either for a moment we feel really proud of ourselves or we despair because we can't seem to get there. And yet when you learn to just wrestle that thing to the ground, you're like, I'm going to accept acceptance. I'm going to wrap my arms around grace. And just trust that his finished work is enough. And the choices I make are in response to that love as an offering of thanks. The fruit that comes out of that is so disproportionate to who we are. It's no wonder the enemy doesn't want us in that place, don't you think?
Absolutely. You know, I think we spend most of our efforts trying to please God when all we're supposed to trust him, which is sometimes hard to do. For me as a worship leader, I was under the banner of humility. I would stand on stage and talk about how much we stink and we're horrible and we're wretches and our hearts can't be trusted and we're nothing without Christ. That first part is true, but my friend that came back in my life was like, is it possible that God, Christ has been saying, you know what, you used to be unworthy, you used to be unrighteous, you used to stink pretty good, but because of the cross, you're a brand new creation. And then I realized, you know, we only have so many seconds in life, and I have a pretty good feeling he'd rather us dwell on who we are rather than what we used to be.
Yes.
And you know, I think the scary part of it is, like I said, under the banner of humility is a noble thing to kind of cower down and say I'm nothing when, man, what if Christ is like, you know, it's okay to kind of have a little bit of a swagger as if you've read the last page of the book and know how this is going to turn out.
Amen.
Yeah, and so, you know, and I'm not, you know, I think Paul probably came across that way sometimes because he got it. And you know, I'm not saying be a jerk. I'm just saying, man, live standing up a little bit straighter, knowing that you're done. You're finished. You're even though we're on a journey, you are at the same time a complete work in Christ, you know. And, yeah, so that's all that we are talking about in this album, and I promise you it's all we'll ever talk about until this comes to an end.
Well, you know, you think about it. When we embrace worm theology, oftentimes what comes out of that, you know, it's like we're proud of our humility. So what fruit is that? You know, I think when you really, really embrace the grace because he paid it, gratitude and humility, true humility and gratitude are fruits of that. And well, I want to have us play Finish What He Started. Talk to me about that song and then we'll play that one.
Well, Finish What He Started, you know, we called it our security blanket before we had a title because it's your kind of typical kind of power ballad that we've been known for. And for us to make a record that a lot musically is a lot of different things and new stuff for us, we had to have that song on there from a musical standpoint and everything else. But the message, you know, it's kind of like I said, we're on this journey, but at the same time, we can live as if we're a finished work in Christ. And that's kind of, you know, I think the greatest promise of all for a believer is when Christ said, hey, you know, I'm going to finish. He who started this amazing work in you is faithful to complete it. And so, and all I hear in that is no matter how many times we try to mess this up, how many times the enemy may win or we lose to the flesh or whatever, you have the God over everything that has promised us he'll finish what he started. Mm. It's not if you do good. It's not if you do it right. If you follow these rules, I'll be there for you. He is saying, I'm going to finish what I started. And it's all about him and from beginning to end. And it's like, man, I can't, it's hard to think of another verse that I could take more comfort in than the fact that he's got us covered, that it's okay to fail sometimes. It's okay to live life with reckless abandon because Christ has promised to finish this strong. And it's, you know, it's, gosh, it's the, that's the kind of stuff that allows you to lay your head on your pillow at night, take a deep breath and say, it's going to be okay.
Amen.
I mean, we could talk about every song and I would probably say it's as important as the others, but yeah, that one was kind of a self-revelation. That song was for me and just that and being reminded of that promise.
And don't let it define you, take heart. That's not who you are. I got it.
made new means you get a do-over. You get a new identity. You have a new path. You have a new purpose and a new relationship to the God who created you.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Bart Millard of Mercy Me. And I mean this when I say this, Bart. I feel like this album is a word for today. I just do. I think that we're not going to be able to stand in these days if we're not resting in the finished work of Christ and responding accordingly. Otherwise, we're going to look at our circumstances and react accordingly, don't you think?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. I mean, I think we're in the church as a whole is, well, I say the whole, the church, I kind of church I grew up in is probably already guilty of that. And you know, I say on stage every night, I think the two most important things the church needs to be reminded of is who they are in Christ and how grace got them there. Mm. I couldn't agree more.
Mm. Well, I want to squeeze in two more songs if I can, and we're going to end on Shake, Lord willing. We're going to go out with a bang. But I want you to talk about Dear Younger Me.
Yeah, Dear Younger Me is probably the hardest song to write. You know, I grew up in my parents divorced when I was three. My dad was and my mom remarried, and my stepdad was transferred somewhere to another town when I was in third grade. And so I have a brother that's 5 years older. Make a long story short, they decided to keep us in our hometown. We moved in with our dad to the school and family and stuff and not separate the boy, myself and my brother. And, but the thing that was kind of like most people didn't know was that my dad was a very abusive person, especially to me. Mm-hmm. You know, my brother and I both found out he was abusive to each other, but never knew the other was, it was happening to both. We never knew until later in life.
Wow.
My dad, just if he was having an off day, he would come home and take it out on me. You know, if CPS knew about it, I would have been gone in a heartbeat. But, you know, this happened from third grade to about sixth grade. I kind of went through a growth spurt, and then he didn't beat me as much, or really not much at all after that, but just emotionally tore me apart. Well, my freshman year in high school, he was diagnosed with cancer, which was, you know, part of me was glad because I thought it would come to an end. But the other part of me was it's all I knew, it was my dad, so I was devastated. And he passed away my freshman year in college. So from my freshman year in high school to then, about 4 or 5 years, I saw a transformation, this man go from a monster to someone who desperately and passionately fell in love with Jesus.
Whoa.
And I don't say that lightly. Like, I had every reason to not believe it's true, but I was almost forced to see this man has completely changed. So much so that by the time he passed away, he was the guy I wanted to be like when I grew up. But to this day, one of the godliest men I've ever known. And so when he died, I kind of got, you know, I got on this kind of war path for the gospel, realizing that if it could change that dude, the gospel can change anybody.
Wow.
And in this, obviously, a lot of stuff in my childhood, my wife and I have been married for 17 years. She's my girlfriend in seventh grade. She's known my dad. Well, when we went through tragedy or whatever in our marriage, it was pretty easy to realize I don't deal with those things very well because of how I grew up. Went to a marriage counselor and a grief counselor, and she was like, let's kind of dig into your past. And I was like, no way, that's not what I signed up for. And so she kind of showed me how it was all related and all connected. And in all of this, she told me one day, like, she said, if you ever want to know what it's like for you to grow up in a godly family environment, just watch your middle son, Charlie, who's just like you. He's 8. And I just fell apart. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because we convinced her that we were a godly family environment. Who knows? But it really got to me. And it started making me think, man, if I could go back and talk to the 8-year-old version of me, what would I tell him? What would I want him to know, you know, out of the stuff I know now, what would I tell him then? And so I had the idea for the song, this kind of conversation with the younger version of me. And it became way harder than I thought it would. It had no clue where to go, what to say, you know. I tell them the Red Sox won. I just didn't know where to go. And then it dawned on me when one day I was like, you know, because I really was just trying to answer the question, what would I say to them? And that friend of mine that kind of came back into my life to remind me that there's nothing I can do to make Christ love me any more than he already does. One thing he did that literally changed my life is for about 2 years, every day he would text me the same thing. He would say, you're holy, righteous, and redeemed, and I am for you.
Wow.
And eventually I started to believe it, not only who I am in Christ, but that someone was for me. And it dawned on me, if I could go back, what I would tell the younger version of me is that he's holy, righteous, and redeemed over and over and over and over and over. Because like I say on stage, if it turned my world upside down at 40, how much damage could I have done if I understood that at 8 years old? Mm. And so that's where the song came from, was and it was hard. It was a hard song. The hardest part about that song was getting through it without crying. And it's a pretty special song to me. And it was the perfect ending to this album. To, you know, we started with Grace and Identity, and we couldn't think of a better way to wrap the album up.
Well, I got to tell you, not knowing that story, first of all, thank you so much for sharing it. Mm-hmm. But your tenderness towards your younger self was so precious to me, because we're ruthless to ourselves. And I don't know if it was C.S. Yeah. Lewis or Spurgeon. One of them said, why don't you be as kind to yourself as God has been to you? And, this song, let's hear it. Dear Younger Me. Great song. An amazing song. Bart, I just praise God for that friend that God put in your life to speak truth to you and life to you. I'm so grateful for that.
Me too.
Wow. Well, we're going to be cutting it up close to the end, but we got to play Shake, because we got to do that. I'm just saying.
So
say a word about Shake before we put it on.
Well, Shake was, when we finished Hurting the Healer, like I said, we were in a really weird place. Our label was really good to us to not tell us when the next album needed to come out, and they kind of said it's on our timetable, and so we had no intentions of making a record yet, and we had written Shake. It was kind of the first thing we had kind of messed with during this kind of this transformation, and I'd say I didn't make the mistake, but I always say I made the mistake of sending the demo to the label, and they leaked it out on YouTube, knowing that if we could see how fans were digging it, we'd be forced to start making an album. And because they knew we had something to say, and we were just kind of lollygagging around. And so sure enough, they put it out there, and the response was overwhelming, where we literally finished the song, made a music video, and released it all like last October, November. We didn't even start making the album until February.
Wow.
And so we weren't even close to any other songs. And so, but it, looking back, it was the perfect first impression. Musically, it was so different for us. And, you know, I've said all along, if you can be still long enough to understand who you are in Christ, then from that point on, it's going to be hard to sit still.
Amen.
And so that's basically what Shake's about.
I just have to say this quick before we put it on, but I grew up in a family of 7 kids. My parents would move the furniture out of the living room on Friday nights and pair us together and put the oldies on, and they taught us the Jitterbug and the Sugarfoot and the Lindy. So the brothers and sisters are flipping us around, and my parents are great dancers. Well, my dad died a couple years ago, and when we welcomed home one of my sons and his wife moving from out of state back to our state, and had a big family welcome home, and we put that song on. Everybody paired up, and we busted
awesome.
A movie. It was such a blast. I can't even tell you. It's good. All right.
That's
really
great.
Let's hear Shake.
Things seem fine. Oh. Maybe your world was upside down and it's right between me. No matter when it happened, 7 or 95, move your feet because you are free and you've never been more alive. You gotta shake, shake, shake like you're shake, shake, shake.
Bart, I wish so bad we had more time. This has been a blast. Thank you for making the time. I so appreciate it.
Oh, anytime. I loved it. Thanks for having me.
Well, I wish you God's best with your family and your ministry.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, God bless you, sir. Yes, bless you.
Bye.
Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of today's show on our website at myfaithradio.com. I'm telling you what, life is too short not to dance. Put on this music, dance around, and celebrate, because you know what? You can rest in the finished work of Christ. There's lots of reasons for joy and celebration. Meet me back here tomorrow. I'll say this. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.